My name is Hunts the Storm. For over 100 years, I've pursued the snake that consumes itself, which manifests as a massive storm, able to rip people like myself and my companions Mohawk and Hope from our realities. This time I caught the storm, and inside it found strange people. These people call the snake that consumes itself a time machine. They have traveled back to my time to stop a great evil. This mega timeline still imprisons my sister Tan and my family, the Groton people. We will not stop until we see it defeated. Now I find myself in an alliance with these powerful fools. Hannah is a life and spirit shaman. They are like my people, but strange and twisted. Ethel is a witch who specializes in destruction and death. She means well, but is reckless with the power that she wields. Another, Mona, seems to control reality and be an instrument of some divine will. She is unwavering and loyal, but I question what ends her purpose serves. Parallax is a chronomancer who weaves space, time, and fate. He is devoted to his loved ones, but seems callous to the needs of others. For those who meddle with the forces of time itself, they are very short-sighted. That has not stopped them from saving many lives, and this time ship is filled with those who have become their family. Together, we can answer the spirit's call and right the wrongs of this and all realities.
Oh, perfect timing, Kat. That's, you've done it. You're the star. Wow. All right, we're going to jump into it with the fools who have just returned to their time ship after going through an adventure in Arcadia. It turns out that nonsense in Arcadia is actually what powers the time machine, and so the time machine has gained thousands of mana. I think I said it was 1,000 mana or something ridiculous like that. Hey, 10,000 mana. It's a lot of mana. You now have all the mana that the mages might want to use to do spells. And Hannah, you have spirit magic, so I realized that you can do the essence thing just fine for our new companion who was asking about essence at the end of last session. You can just make that a reality with all this mana. And there is another matter that happened at the end of the last game, and that is that the purple floating tentacle cat came up and suctioned on to Ethel's forehead. So Ethel then made a wall semi-invisible, and you can see that outside the wall of the modularium, there are in fact two people. They look like they may be colonists, men standing out there. With your brain plugged into this cat spirit, though, Ethel, you suddenly know a lot about the ship. It's not quite the same as when you were one with the ship back in the Cosmographicum and when you first launched it, but there is a sort of sympathetic connection. And in a way, you feel it a lot stronger than some of the others who feel like it's kind of a tool that's being used. When you are tapped into the system, you really feel like the ship is an extension of your body in a way. There's vibrations, and there's different energies both inside and outside the ship.
What do you mean by different energies outside the ship? Like the people who we can see through the wall, or?
It's like if you had the people here and it felt like someone sort of gently moving along your skin. Whereas in other areas, it's like there's a bunch of activity. And in other areas, it's like there's water or there's calm. You just get different vibes from these different places. And if you'd like, you can roll your gnosis to try to single out any of those and get more information.
Sure, I will do that. One second.
And Katie, do you have any tarot decks with you?
In the next room, I could grab one.
Yeah, you should go grab one, just in case.
5 successes.
All right, I'm going to have you say that one more time in just a minute, but that's an exceptional success.
I rolled 2 tens.
That's very impressive.
Thank you. I put it on my phone. I can send you a screenshot.
Oh, no, I just believe you, and I am like, yeah, that means that this was meant to happen in my mind.
Okay. I also feel like my gnosis is a number I should just know now. I shouldn't have to count it every single time, but here we are.
Well, your gnosis is probably so big that you can count the missing bubbles instead.
Oh, thanks, math.
Can I get a tarot card drawing on this one?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to have you each draw a tarot card for me, actually. And I'm sure it's going to be totally safe.
It would be absolutely insane if you drew the same card. Okay.
All right. 1, 4 of wands.
Pentacles. You have 4 too. Ooh.
You can tell that there are 4 areas of interest. There are 4 places where things seem to be happening. There's some sort of gathering in downtown Salem. There is some sort of dark ritual that it feels far from where you are now. It feels like one of the furthest away locations. There is also a battle that's about to happen. Finally, there is it's another magical aura. Something like magically significant is happening.
Can we tell where the battle is going to happen?
Yes, and you can tell that it's actually very close by. It's just one more stop if you would continue through another door, one that you've actually never been through, into this room called the Ethereum. Just on the other side of that, there's a door that opens up into what is the woods, but what it really is it's deep in the Dawnland territories.
According to my math, the Ethereum is partway between Hannah's cabin. Well, what will be or might be or was in the future Hannah's cabin, right? And the documents.
And the Hannah's cabin location is essentially where you are right now, because that's where those people are. The cabin doesn't exist in this reality, but this is the giant snake wall that Hannah found that one time before.
That was a snake wall?
Yeah, it was a big wall made out of stone. It was a snake wall.
Didn't let me in.
So now, well, Ethel has a bunch of information. The rest of you have some ideas. And you should talk about stuff while I hang out.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously will share the information of the 4 places. And if given my druthers, would suggest going to, was it downtown, one of the options? As it feels the most wand. And by that, I mean like happy, potentially, of our choices.
Is downtown the one with more or less?
Yeah. More activity in the downtown.
Yeah, I mean, we should probably figure out what's going on. We're juiced up. We have no idea what's happened in the last some period of time. Yeah. The last time we left the town, there was a cannibal plague and some evil minister creating new mages. I am concerned about the new hullabaloo. I'm with Ethel.
Yeah, also, I would like to try to figure out how much time has passed, because we don't know that, right?
Do we know that? Our Uber time person. I mean, Parallax, you must know like what time it is all the time.
I would imagine I do. Yeah.
So you know how much time seems to have passed since you entered this room, but when you went through the Fae, you lost track of all time. Sure. Now, if you stepped outside, you would instantly know what time it is. You could also try to cast some sort of time magic spell to figure out.
I think it's just a lot easier just to step outside real quick. I mean, we have a sort of invisible... Actually, that does lead outside, but we are sort of in a fancy spaceship. Probably, you know, be discreetly open up the side and figure out what the deal is. We're going to leave anyway. Check out the downtown area, it sounds like.
The downtown area, step outside, feel it out.
I thought we were in danger of people knowing about the ship.
Oh, yeah. There's definitely people who know about the ship. Those 2 guys outside definitely do.
Well, if that's the case, maybe we'll just do an improvised time spell to figure out when it is.
Yeah, roll time gnosis.
Let's see. Four successes.
With four successes, you can tell accurately that it's somewhere in the morning of September, and it is still 1692. So about 6.5 months have passed.
Whoops.
So the cannibal thing can be still very much be a threat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, good to know.
Would any of us know when, like, the murder of innocence was happening?
Oh, it's now. It's happening. Like, it's been happening.
I'm sorry, the murder of who?
Oh, right, you're from here. So people like us or people who are just going about their business, probably being independent thinkers, are being put on trial for being evil witches and then killed. But we know that witches are fine, but also this, yeah. They're just innocent people being murdered.
Why don't they like magic or thinking, independent thinking? Do they feel threatened by it?
Yes, yes. Oh. If you don't do what the good book says, and by that I mean the men who are interpreting the good book for their own ends, then yeah, off to a pit to be rocks thrown on you. I mean, I'm sure you know how judgmental and cruel they can be. I know that the Dawnlands have also suffered, and that they do it to themselves too.
You know about cruelty. You've seen cruelty. These people know nothing of cruelty, not really.
So you say these people are probably being murdered right now? Or so?
And I
then let us...
Right. Historian Mona, like, waves down Parallax.
Yeah, it's an academics check.
I mean, my specialty was in folklore, so not really my specialty, but I definitely roll academics, see what...
Some folklore around Salem witch trials.
Yeah, probably.
So it's just intelligence academics.
Yeah. Yeah, still pretty wicked smart. Probably know a thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know anything. I got zero on that roll. 8 dice. 0.
Wow. You actually, as you are thinking about it, the memories, you see them for a moment and they flicker in front of your mind as if you were reading a book and then the lights went out. It's strange. You've never felt anything like that before.
Hey, it's messing with me. I was in there for too long, probably.
The crystal that you picked up in the Fae hums, and you feel that sixth dot of time magic pressing against you, aching to be used.
Yeah, I don't like the idea of me losing memories like that. So I'm definitely gonna be using that time stone that I got.
So as you break out of time here in the time ship, reality bends and ripples around you, and to everyone else, Parallax's eyes just go green for a moment, and time of course doesn't pass, but you get a little pause outside of time where you are clued in to that your time magic can rewrite not the past of things that have happened outside the time ship, or even really inside the time ship, but your own timeline. If you want to, while you didn't have that book of answers in front of you, you failed, 0 successes, you could, with time 6, in a different story, where instead of a specialty in folklore, you had a specialty on the Salem witch trials. All you need to do is rewrite your own history.
Double majored.
I don't think that's how it would go down, but yeah, maybe this would be a permanent change, and maybe my guy just, yeah, I will change my history and rewrite it so that I have a specialty in the Salem witch trials.
All right, it's time gnosis, and because you want to make it permanent, it's -10.
Okay, maybe I don't make it permanent and just...
If you don't make it permanent, then it just is time gnosis, and it just happens.
Yeah, make it permanent. I just assumed it would be permanent, but no.
No, actually, you just borrow from that story, and then you know, and then you bring the knowledge back because you can travel between stories now.
Okay, so it's not like my timeline I'm jumping. It's just a multiverse version of myself.
Exactly. You are the multiversal version of yourself.
Right.
And you can go and have absorbed part of the timeline where you knew about this.
All right.
We need to watch Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Really? I did see that movie on last week, and I have to say I hated the sausage fingers part. I just was like, why? Of all the things, I just had.
I've learned why. Because that whole movie was put together with a crew of just 5 special effect artists and CGI people. 5 people did all this. Really? So they did a lot of practical effects, a la hot dog fingers.
Hot dog fingers with mustard and ketchup.
Yeah,
I didn't like that part. Anyway.
I think it squandered its potential. And that's why we're doing it here, but better in Wizards.
Oh, yeah. I got 6 successes on my Salem or parallel sandwich partner.
Right. Well, you didn't know about it, but you did know about it. And it turns out that today is the day that Giles Corey gets crushed to death. You are absolutely certain that that's what's happening with your 6 successes. You know that this is a fixed point in history with 6 successes. And what that means is that this is something which is one of the underpinning moments of the series of events that are about to unfold. If you undo the pin, you will dramatically change what history looks like.
Well, friends, would you like to rewrite history yet for another time? How would you like to see if we can't be done with the Salem witch trials forever and let it just be in the wind?
Well,
one of Hannah's obsessions is stop the deaths of innocents. So, yeah. It's very, we can stop the Salem witch trials because doesn't learn from it.
Parallax, you would know that you have actually failed to stop most of the Salem witch trials at this point. You would be saving one of the last people to be executed.
Then why would his death be so significant if that's the case?
You don't know.
But this seems important and seems like it could further our paths of what we're trying to do.
I think time magic would be able to predict things that will happen if you take certain courses of action. However, you need to step outside the ship to do it. And
right, let's do it.
The other thing is that fate magic would be able to control what's going to happen and how it would all shake out. After you unpin this reality, you could then bend it to your will.
Are we worried we're going to go down the same path as the previous drivers of this ship? Or are we doing this? Is this a good thing?
I think that this death is maybe a distraction from a bigger picture, maybe.
But also, it's really hard to not just save that person's life. He's going to die horribly or he's not, and we can choose the not.
It seems like I don't see what the hesitation is here. I think we should save the person's life. I think that would alter the future in a positive way. The future you speak of, I think that will further avert the forces of corruption and decay that are ruining this world, this universe, multiverse. So I would urge that we do this quickly. And I start
making a good point. I think we do have to, this is something we're going to have to do.
Well, I don't think we should leave the time ship unattended.
Does the B team get a vote on any of this? And how do they voice their opinions?
The B team can stay.
Laura is very forceful about the fact that whatever is decided, she'll not just be left behind again. And Ethel suggests that if we're worried about the people who we can't save who have already died, what if we gave a go at just bringing them back? Does a little shimmy thing with her hands that I did that you can't see because I'm a cat.
Yes. Mona is down for that.
Mona, you're not down for it. It's a perversion of the god machine's reality. When mages cast magic to do stuff that they don't need to do and destroy the fabric of reality, the god machine suffers. I mean, maybe you're done with the god machine.
I'm not done with god. Okay. I love the god machine. That is my whole life. So, okay,
well,
fine.
You should know that this plan that you're currently on to unmake reality and then rebuild it could damage the god machine. The god machine is already abandoned by whatever created it, and now it's running on its own. So big changes have potential to damage the underpinnings of all reality. No pressure.
Okay. Mona looks at you. Sorry, Ethel. It's like, there's much more you need to learn.
Alternatively, if we brought them back, we could ask them like all those questions about Salem that everyone like wants to know now, like if they eat moldy bread and stuff. So we'd be helping history.
Maybe we could talk to their spirits, but bringing ones back from the dead, that is probably really altering things that death is a natural part of the continuum.
If we save his life, but we don't let the townspeople know that we've done it.
That's what I was thinking. Your life and my matter, we could look like him, and then I could like reshape the rocks as they're placed on whoever decides to pretend to be him, and we could just like put him in a different country.
That sounds dramatic. But I mean,
or like give him a mustache and send him on his way.
Can we just cast a ward on him so he won't really die and just hope he's a good actor?
I could make him unconscious and then we retrieve his body if it's, I mean, if he's crushed to death. He'll look like he's crushed. He'll look like he's dead. They might bury him and then we rescue him from the grave and then help his traumatized self move on someplace else.
Instead of having him go through all that, can't you just make like a shell of a body and make it look like him and then make switch, just a little switcheroo? And
yes, I can do that.
Yeah. Right. Pause time, switch the body. There you go.
Hold on. But can you make the fake body say the phrase more weight? Because like I remember learning about that in history class. I feel like that's like a real sweet move. I think he should still get the quote.
Very good. Yes. I can carry sound. So yes.
I like this plan. I think the only thing is what we do with a poor rescued friend and what he's going to do with his life.
Yeah, he's going to have to leave town. We'll find out. I'm sure he'll tell us. But yeah, he's going to skip town.
There is a small problem as you make your way through the untouched and now cobwebbed filled house. Apparently there were some spiders that came in with you from Salem because there's cobwebs everywhere. And the...
Wait a minute. One of those spiders could be May.
Can I just do a life check and check all the life signs and like spirit? Yeah. Are any of these spiders May?
I think you should roll a wits investigate check.
That's a good point, Mona.
Yeah, that's solid thinking right there.
Yeah, I was here. You're really close to that. You have two successes.
The spiders are not May, but as you look at them, you know that they're not normal spiders either. You're pretty sure that there's something to do with the Fae. And then you see it. That spider silk that was given to Mona is shedding spiders down her leg. And in fact, they're just kind of like parachuting off on little silk webs one by one. And they're just going everywhere that Mona has been going.
Oh, dear.
Does Mona like spiders? How do you feel about spiders on your person?
That's fine.
Great, you got spiders going down your legs, and I think it's from the spider silk. Which, I mean, they could be friendly, but also that's a lot of fae spiders we got going on here.
How is the fae here?
We
brought it with you.
Brought it.
Are you saying that the ship is infested with the fae? Mona is going to cast some sort of rhyme?
What's the goal of the spell?
Or maybe fate, to have all fae walk back to the fae world.
You couldn't do that with fate magic at two dots, but what you could do is use your two fate and your forces magic, just scoop all the spiders and then just pop them right back to the fae.
I will do that.
All right, this is going to take a little bit of time for you to do. I'm going to have you roll your forces plus gnosis. The rest of the group, you have not yet reached the witch trial. You could choose to split up and leave Mona here doing this, or you could choose to do something else. Wait in the treehouse.
You should change clothes. Hannah's wearing tatters at this point. So Hannah's going to go and maybe be like, hey, does someone with better 1692 fashion sense want to help?
Yeah, since this is my time. Where are we? In a cabin?
So you are in what looks like a strange house. You've been here before. It's like a house in the woods, but it's one of those Western style houses. And it's also from...
Okay.
So there's some weird things that you have no idea what they are. They look kind of like boxes, most of them. And some of them have lights that glow on them. And some of them have weird symbols. Cereal is a trip. You've probably never seen cereal before. What are some other things that a person from this time period might find unusual about the clubhouse?
There's a box that gets really hot on top, like fire rocks on top that get hot. Bestow.
Alberry, are there, so their clothing here that from this time, from the, this time period, or their items from this time period here?
We have to go make them. Actually, yes, I do need your brain because I can't imagine what they're supposed to look like, but you can imagine them. So I'm going to take Hunts the Storm to the
Modularium. Okay. In the Modularium, Hunts the Storm, you're going to plug into the cat brain computer spirit. A spirit makes contact with you.
Okay.
It's a floating tentacle cat, and it's going to need you to roll an intelligence plus crafting plus one.
Okay. One more.
How did the spider scoop go? You've scooped most of the spiders. Great job.
You said most.
I'll spend a willpower point.
Okay.
All right. One success. Oh, wait. Can I get the roll again? Okay. One success.
With one success, you've made some clothes that you think look like what those colonists, those aliens from the other world wear. They're missing some features, like buttons. The buttons aren't quite right.
Probably what I would do.
They look similar. From a distance, they'll definitely hold up.
It's like an AI rendition of these clothes.
Yeah, AI. I'm pretty sure this is what I've seen the colonists wear.
Yeah, it works for me.
Perfect. Ethel, Parallax.
Oh, I want to go with Hannah and Hunts the Storm, because once Hannah gets their makeover, Ethel too would like some recommendations on having better 1692 clothes that are maybe a little bit more flattering, but also would love to have Hunts the Storm have like a modern makeover. I think would be fun as well. Maybe some pajamas when he's hanging around the ship. I don't know.
Hunts the Storm, roll a wits plus empathy check.
Wits?
Yes.
One success.
You're not entirely sure if this Ethel person even cares about clothing being historically accurate or whatever. They seem mostly to just want to be flattered and engaged with. What would you do in that situation? Social, your finest arena.
Yeah, yeah. I don't see the need for that. I'm very comfortable with what I'm wearing. Clothing is just practical and functional. I don't wear clothing for any other purpose. But if I need to wear clothing for an outfit for a mission or a quest, then I can do that if it's required. But I prefer to wear my traditional clothing.
I just thought it'd be fun.
I have very little time.
Do you want to roll a wits empathy check on the new companion?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I will do that. One.
Yeah. You don't understand this person. They seem strange. Maybe awkward.
Probably be awkward. They had some comfy PJs, but whatever.
All right.
Spiders mostly collected. You've finished?
Yeah, does Mona think that she got all the spiders?
No, you don't think that you got all the spiders. You do think that you got all the easily accessible spiders. And it might take you more time to dig out the hidden ones.
Yeah, so Mona's probably, like, has most of the spiders and is now, like, crawling on all fours, trying to get to the harder-to-reach ones because they want to be thorough.
What about the unbreakable silk that apparently has all these spiders? Are you going to leave that in the fae?
Are they just, like, generating on the silk, or is there, like, an egg sac?
When you look down, it does look like there's an egg sac, in fact.
Okay, I will remove the egg sac and also contain that, so when more hatch, they don't escape. And now I am on all fours, getting the harder to reach ones.
Yeah, I'm gonna help Mona out with that. I don't like the idea of fae spiders.
Yeah,
being you out of the fae.
Why don't you roll some fate magic?
Yeah.
Do you want to use any yantras as you use fate to get the spiders from this house?
Yeah, I guess I'll just say something in high speech. God, something.
Tell them to get out. Just.
Yeah, basically something about, it's like, get out. Like, doing like a weird dance too, actually. It's like, get out. This is not a dance.
Get a plus four bonus, plus two from the dance.
Nice.
Can I see the dance?
Yeah. In fact, the rest of the group walks in as Parallax is finishing the dance.
No, I'm asking Trevor.
Oh, you want me to do the dance? God damn.
Yeah, good. The roll goes first.
Three successes. I mean, I don't even know what I'm going to do.
Yeah,
it's kind of hard dancing while sitting down, so it's going to be something like this, I guess. Oh, Jesus. Something like this. Yeah. This is not a dance.
Get out, spiders, get out.
Yeah.
This is not a dance. They leave. All the spiders leave with your combined magical might.
Excellent. Thank you for your help. I appreciate it.
All right. Now, unfortunately, you do need to cross this giant spinning stone bridge if you'd like to walk into Salem proper, as you often have to do when you want to reach the site where Danvers once stood. Ethel, you've been here. This is the place where you had those awakening visions long, long ago of that tower and the time before time. And there are strange murals carved here. It's the history of Atlantis carved into the walls. And there's giant spinning metal plates. You can jump over them. It does take an athletics check. You're still inside the ship. This is part of the ship. In fact, it's got a name. And I did pull up all the names, didn't I? It is called the Vox Maiorum. This room is a voice of generations past. It connects to all those dead whom have awakened. Much of the knowledge that the last people who owned this ship had came from this room, they said in their journals. So how are you all getting across? The most mundane way is rolling a dexterity or wits plus athletics to time your jumps. You would need 3 successes to get across, but you can get them one at a time. There's other ways because you're magic people.
This is just jumping across a thing?
Yeah, it's, you know, all right, so here's what it is. It's this giant spinning bridge that's going around. And then there's 2 more of those.
Oh, got it.
You gotta like jump from one to the other. And as they're spinning through that arc, they also stop off on these 3 stone murals. There's like a little ledge next to each of the murals for people to go and inspect them more closely.
Well, Hannah's gonna do their rope supreme pony. It's like, yeah, test of strength and dex. I got this. Like, do some like body crafting, just like pulling on stuff, getting the muscles in the right spots.
Anyone who wants to can roll dex athletics to jump across.
Okay.
Can we fate magic the spinny things to just stop at the right time for us to walk across, all just like sly and cool like?
You can't fate magic the things to stop because that's not part of their destiny. But you could fate magic yourself to get a bonus equal to your fate dots on jumping across and just make it look easy.
Yeah, that is my goal.
Yeah, just roll fate gnosis.
Can I also cast it on Alora so she can equally get across in a cool fashion since she doesn't have
magic? Yeah, absolutely. You could cast it on the entire group if you would like to.
Yeah, I'll do that, but I'm not going to say it. Can I do it as sneakily as possible so they all just feel like...
Mona will be able to tell that you are casting a fate spell on them, but the rest of them don't really know magic, so you could definitely confuse them.
Okay, I'm going to give when I do it.
Okay, it's fate gnosis -4, and you can add yantras by... That wink actually is a +1 bonus.
4 with the wink.
So it happens. You all get ridiculously lucky. The timing is perfect, and you like all jump across one by one by one as if you had trained it. Like you're jumping across in groups, and it doesn't take you hardly any time at all. No one even needs to roll. You are now at the other side, and those of you with fate magic are aware that something has happened. One of the walls here can open up into Salem.
Very impressive. Mona can tell that like the Ethel here is like
the Ethel
way more powerful than me now that they've combined with all the other Ethels.
Yeah. What's your gnosis? And Ethel, what's your gnosis? Because you can read people's gnosis.
-6.
Okay. That's still stronger than just about anybody.
-7.
Yeah, you can feel that hum of power coming from Ethel's soul.
How much experience would it take to make it 8?
5.
-8.
As that happens, there's just a... Ethel, you walk out into Salem. Tell me about how it goes.
I step out, and yep. I assume some people turn and look because I look amazing in the wrong way.
They do. They seem very struck by you, all of you.
What does it look like when we step out of the ship? Is there like a like door we step out of, or is it disguised?
So there's this stone wall. It's a cliff here in town, and it's actually part of the Hanging Hill. Great times. Oh. But they're not hanging anybody today. They are actually crushing a man under a mountain of stone.
Right.
The crowd has gathered. And one thing that I am going to add to this scene is that you see the cabal that you have been facing, Samuel Paris and his brood here in attendance. But then what happens, Ethel?
Oh, man. I'm going to cast, this might be a terrible idea, but can I cast a death spell, like a death ward on Giles Corey so he won't actually die?
Yeah, absolutely. The spell. Okay. Katie, I see you posted a question. Did you resolve your damage condition? Is that damage condition from Paradox?
Yeah, it's when all my skin ripped when I was the winged slayer of the witch hunter general.
I'm going to say yes, and it happened as you stepped out of Arcadia because all the time resolved.
Great, thanks. I didn't want to be extra scary when I walked into town.
Oh, yeah, don't worry about that. You're already pretty scary as a crew of... is anyone besides for Alora in terms of NPCs coming with you?
Sinjata has elected to grumpily stay because as a not living black man in 1692,
could be
in more in danger. And so this is already going to go bad.
I do not think that Byron wants to go. I think that Byron wants to
sun. I think he's definitely hanging back because last I recall, definitely wants to hang out on the beach. But I remember his physical body took a turn for the worse for being in the Fae for so long. So I think he needs to recover a little bit before going on another adventure.
What about Rex?
Rex is staying on the ship, making sure everyone's brains are not getting poked into.
Yeah. So Ethel, what happens next?
Am I caught casting that spell?
No.
Cool. Are we just in the middle of the field of Giles Corey and the like two guys? That's like
you're actually more like up above it. You can see down, and you don't think that everybody can see you, but there's so many people here that some of them have seen you and they do think it's weird. You think that these are mostly sleepers and they shouldn't be able to really understand what's happening, but they will make Paradox happen if there's any obvious magic.
Okay.
Actually, Jada come a little bit afterwards, like is going to be like, you know, body language, I'm going to stay here, and then be like, no, those are the fools, and be like, I'm just going to hang back and observe. And
is waiting on the bridges, on the spinning bridges.
Yes. Just inside the door, and then like after a little bit, we'll go out. So they can be like that. I'm going to make sure nothing's going wrong. I'm still protecting these. I still need to protect them. Something's going to go wrong. It always goes wrong.
Does anything go wrong?
What type of magic would let you mess with the weather?
Forces magic. Mona can do it.
I'm going to whisper over to Mona and ask, like, can you cause a storm that might like temporarily break all this up? Or at least cause some chaos?
Yeah. Yes, I can.
What kind of storm, Mona?
I mean, are there clouds in the sky?
It's kind of overcast, yeah. It's September.
Okay. I will make those clouds heavy with water and, add some wind in there. I'm Storm!
Storm builds and Giles Corey shouts, "More weight!" over it as they take another boulder and crush onto his body. His ribs shatter.
Wait. No. Mona's gonna stop that.
I don't think that Mona can tell until after it's happened.
Oh, okay.
And because of the death magic, he is still alive.
Can I boost his physical resilience from here?
You can, absolutely. As you are all casting these spells, I think that Sam Paris has prime magic and has noticed this. Sam Paris is going to move swiftly through the crowd. So you all have a few spells left before. Maybe one spell left, one action each.
Does this healing thing or it's like boosting his constitution basically, like resilience. Is that my one action or do I have one more?
That would be your spell, but you could also do something that's not a spell.
I was going to do another spell and change what we look like.
Maybe that one first.
Yeah. So if I do that and then Mona hides our magic.
That would be very powerful. You going to do it?
Yeah. Can I lock eyes with Mona and be like, passing without a trace?
Yeah. And you have the mental connection. So both of you are going to need to roll either life or prime. With the life arcana and the prime arcana, you're targeting a lot of people. So you're going to have to roll with a -4 penalty, but you can get bonuses for using a yantra, and you could spend a willpower if you really wanted it to work.
Yeah, I think Hannah's going to say we're going to hide in plain sight in high speech and then like touch everyone's face. Like I'm like wiping a new face on them. Sorry if it's awkward, and like have that physical connection with everyone's face, because that's what we're focusing on.
Okay. Hunt the Storm, you feel this thing about to happen to you. It's interesting.
I'll allow it.
Okay. There's a scent here, Hunts. Something is rotten. Something is wrong. Dark spirit.
I don't like it. Does it smell like when I went to Roanoke? It
does smell a little bit like that. Like your time in the land of the lost.
Oh, no. Tell where it's coming from, or no.
You roll a, roll a wits plus investigate as you move around the area with your new face. That means that, Mona, you're casting the spell to shield your auras. Parallax, what are you doing?
Can I cast an exceptional luck spell on myself in terms to affect my spell casting?
How much fate do you have?
I think I have fate 4. Double check.
Yeah, I think you can do that.
Yeah.
It actually might still be an overreach if it's not a rope for you, though.
Yeah, it definitely isn't a rope.
Yeah, it's one overreach, I think.
Yeah, I think I'm also going to spend a willpower here and cast that.
Question. Do we all still have collective brain?
You do. I don't think that Hunt the Storm is hooked into it. Neither is most of B-Team. It's just Rex and the four of you.
Okay.
Actually, I have completely changed my idea here. I want to tap into an alternative version of myself that's really good at hand-to-hand combat.
Yeah, that happens. Yeah.
And
Ethel
is going to very bravely slide into death. And by very bravely, I mean in a panic. But also, maybe there's someone here who also doesn't like Reverend Paris.
Yeah, you slide into death. And when you go into death, you can tell that something is wrong. To the north and the south, energies are building. There's a sort of dark force in death, like it's congealing. And as it congeals down in the south, closer to where you are right now, there's a sort of energy, a lightness, which in theory might seem pleasant, but it's a lightness here in death. It's like something that doesn't belong. Those two centers have created a maelstrom, which you might believe this, forms a figure eight in the realm of death.
Can I tell where I am in that figure eight? Am I in the cross?
You are close to the cross. The cross does line up where you imagine the Cosmographica would be. It's following your ship.
Wild.
Parallax, you got successes on the time roll?
Yeah, I got 4 successes.
All right, you have 6 weaponry, or 6 more weaponry.
Yeah.
Amona and Hannah, how many successes?
4 successes.
I'm going to say in high speech. I'll just say in high speech, hide us from view. Does that add?
Yeah, it would add +2, but you add a -4, so it would be -2 total. And Ish, how many successes on that will-powered investigate? None.
But I want to succeed at a cost.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds great.
I got 3 successes on hiding auras.
With 3 and 4 successes, the group of mages falls back as Paris storms over. Hunts the Storm, did you put on those colonist clothing?
No.
No. And the colonists here might be aggressive or hateful towards you, an outsider. But it's actually not the colonists that you have to worry about. Because as Samuel Paris gets closer, you can tell that the smell is close to Samuel. Something about that rippling into reality, you all see it, is some sort of massive, abyssal spirit. It looks like a human body with limbs grafted onto it in obscene places. It's fleshless and flayed. And Hunts the Storm, you recognize this thing as one of the prince's gatherers. If this thing is here, it means that the prince wants something. And then as it reaches out to you, you realize that it wants you. The prince knows you're here and he's been looking for you. He's been looking for you ever since you got out of the timeline. It's time to roll initiative. So
okay.
It's a single D10, and you add your composure and your dexterity.
So roll a D10 and then add the numbers of composure and dexterity?
Yes, that's correct. It's the only time you actually roll a dice and add the bonus.
I got an 8 total.
15.
That's really good.
And then I'll do Sinjata too, because...
Yeah, he's close by.
He's left the ship, he's watching, he's like, oh no. Sinjata got 10.
Okay.
Ethel also got 8.
Okay.
And Alora got 10.
And Mona?
13.
Hunts the Storm got a 16.
Ooh, Hunts up front. So, I will roll for them. I don't think that they have a very good chance of beating a 16. They don't beat a 16, but they do tie a 15. So, Hannah, what's your initiative modifier?
5.
They go before you. So, Hunts, you are the only member of the group who can act before whatever this thing goes.
Whoa. Well, so can you just describe what's occurring? There's this monster...
You are in a crowd of strangers with a different face, and a man in a pilgrim's hat and a long black cloak walks menacingly towards you. He smells of the abyss. As he walks towards you, an ephemeral entity, a cursed spirit, appears behind you from out of the gauntlet. The gauntlet here is pretty strong, so you believe that they may have had some help.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Were there other people, just this one man, that you said he had a brood, are they approaching as well?
He is walking towards you, and you could use your action to kind of like surveil the crowd and try to figure out who else is working with him, but otherwise it's just a lot of hostile people. You can't tell who's actively working against you besides for those two.
I see. Well, now is the time. Yeah. How big is this monster that's behind me?
Real big, unfortunately. D&D terms, it's large-sized. In this game, it's got a lot of hit points. It's probably size 7, so that's like a truck. It's like a truck.
Well, here change the future, eventually. These colonists have bad ideas. We'll see what happens. Okay, then. I whisper to old Snap. Snap, I think it's no more hiding. And then I grab my Dawn Spear and rip the flesh off my body and unloose all my muscles and go full Garu form.
Okay.
Claws, fangs, and...
Do you want to go Wolf Garu or Turtle Garu? Either is fine.
Wolf.
Yeah. So Wolf, you're a big gray wolf, right?
Actually, reddish brown with gray highlights. That's my fur.
Yeah, so with your reddish brown fur emerging from underneath your flesh... You can also take an action, I believe, as you transform, right? It's not your turn to transform. It's just horrifying. The people scream and run.
Yeah, big monster. But maybe they can't see that. But also, I'm very... Yeah, and then I'm going to just leap at the big abyssal monster and stab it. I don't know about this wizard guy.
All right. Well, your spear is designed to destroy this thing.
Yeah, come Shadow Beast.
It doesn't get a defense against this roll. You just spin around and slice at it with this spear.
Okay. I'm scared. That's what I'm doing.
I mean, it's a scary... You're in a bad spot. It's not good right now.
Yeah. Oh, why not? I will spend a little time.
I believe the spear also gives you a bonus to attack rolls.
Yeah, one. It was a plus one. I got it.
And how much damage does it do?
Damage is...
+4, I think.
+4, you said, yeah.
And it's aggravated against abyssal threats like this.
Yeah, so, yeah. Potentially, okay. That's good enough. 3 successes.
Or 7 aggravated points of damage as you spin around. It buries itself through the chest, through one of the limbs, and this thing, like, takes a knee as it screams in pain. You know that it's going to do something bad to you, though. You can feel it just before it happens. Flesh lurches forward and attempts to consume you whole, grafting itself onto your flesh. You're going to roll your Primal Urge plus your, I think it's Resolve. As this is happening, Samuel Paris rises a little bit and you can see that he's gathering some sort of spell around him. And he says, "They send their assassins to stop our justice." And his voice rings out.
I almost believe him. Very convinced. Oh, goody gumdrop. They just keep going. Zeros, tens.
Oh, yeah. It's a good one to get him on.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4. All right. 5 successes.
All right. The rest of you see as this thing absorbs and crushes around Hunts the Storm until you can only see one of Hunts the Storm's eyes. Like, it looks around wildly, and then with like a vicious swish, it spins around with the spear, and Hunts the Storm, you've severed this whole thing from you. It's collapsed into puddles of goo. You know that it's still going to reform. This thing is not done, but you have defeated it for now. That brings us to Hannah. Yeah. Hannah, do you prove Samuel Paris right by stepping out of the shadows and assassinating them?
No.
Right now you are in theory hidden, but your companion is being attacked.
No. Does this abyssal creature count as an animal?
No. It is a spirit, though.
Oh, it is a spirit. Like a full, like this is a spirit?
Yep, like full, this is a spirit, but it's been corrupted by the abyss.
I can totally banish it. Is that what I'm going to do? Can I use shape spirit to get rid of the corruption?
I think you can use shape spirit to excise the corruption, but the corruption would still exist. Does that make sense?
Like I could take it out of the spirit, but it's still going to be like...
Put it into pure corruption and whatever the spirit was originally.
If I look at what type of spirit it is that going to be my action?
Yeah.
And I think if I try and like shape the spirit and I don't remove the corruption, it's like whatever I shape it into is going to be corrupted. And if I take the corruption out, that's also bad. I think I'm just going to try and banish it.
Okay. Are you using any obvious yantras?
So if I'm doing magic, Samuel Paris knows that I'm doing magic.
Right now, your nimbuses are cloaked, so he would see the magic happen, but he wouldn't necessarily know where it was. I would say you'd roll some sort of manipulation stealth check, probably, if you'd like to do it hidden.
Yeah, I do want to do it hidden. Can I use the "we are coming here to prevent someone getting crushed"?
No.
Context? No.
Not for banishing the spirit, I'm afraid.
But it's crushing our friend. Okay.
You are here to stop this bad thinking.
I'll tell you this. If you would like to reveal yourself, you can gain back your willpower for your virtue.
My virtue is justice.
That's right. And it would be just to stand up for this person who's being attacked by the forces of darkness.
Okay. Oh, man. That's probably the best move. That sounds so dangerous. Yeah, but I guess Hannah is going to go over to where Hunts the Storm and the demon is and say, like, "Be gone. I banish you," in high speech, but do the thing that they have come to do pretty, like, "This is my go-to. I am banishing." Like, pulls out the letter that they still have in their pocket and, like, breathes fire at it.
Yeah, so that's it's a +3 bonus. Taking back all your willpower, so you can also spend a willpower if you would like to.
Yeah, I'll spend a willpower. That's so many dice. I hope it's worth it. 4.
Yeah, with 4 successes, you rush and feel your spirit. You are overtaking it, but then it pushes back. You can tell that this thing is actually very powerful. It is a rank 5 spirit. It's not a god, but it's a servant of a god. And it's not quite enough. But if you'd like to, you could succeed at a cost.
Yeah, Hannah's flying in here to prevent the death of an innocent and, like, stand up for the justice of this person who's trying to save basically his whole people. So, yeah, is going to do the thing.
There's a horrifying moment when Hannah's face, like, splits open, and the spirit of undoing just washes out over the scene and just absorbs it. It's gone. It doesn't exist anymore. It's banished from all realities.
Where did it go?
Technically, it's Mona's turn now.
I think, like, Hannah burps and it's like, "Ah, thanks, friend."
You said technically, so is it?
Yep, it is.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
I was confused. I think Mona's gonna put on Prime Sight, And who's after Mona?
Who's after in the turn roster?
Yeah.
Sinjata, Alora, Ethel, Parallax, and then it starts again.
Okay. I trust that Parallax at time 6 can do something extra good, so I'm going to give him a boost with some...
So there's something you could cast called As Above, So Below, and it would make Parallax's Tool Yantra a +5 bonus to spellcasting.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Yep, roll Prime Gnosis, you just need one success. And from there, we're going to move on to Sinjata. Is Sinjata stepping out or staying hidden?
So Sinjata just saw Hannah devour that spirit?
Yep.
Okay, but can see that Paris is still walking menacingly, has reacted.
This is very quick. Everything's happening very, like, almost simultaneously. So you need that spirit. Would you rush out?
I think what I'd want to do is not rush out, but get the attention of Paris so that he's being misdirected someplace.
You want to open the door to the timeship and just call him?
Nope. That's a bad idea. And Sinjata doesn't actually have any magic or say anything.
Yeah.
But... So it's like in a town square?
It is pretty much a town square. It's not really a... It's a public area.
And is a giant with super strength?
It's big, and he's strong.
I think to try and protect them, we'll run out.
Okay.
Towards the group.
Yeah, the door slides open. Sinjata rushes out. Alora and Ethel.
So Alora, I think, is basically going to... This was D&D, like, ready an attack. She has her axe. She doesn't have magic. But if anything comes up close to her, she is happy to practice her axe work on it. As for Ethel, she is poking around in death and is curious. So she's been directly told she can't raise zombies. That's, you know, air quotes, wrong. So can I... instead, see if I can find some ghosts that might have been wronged by Reverend Parrish who can still somehow help me restrain him or damage him or like...
Yeah, this round you can summon them to you. So you're going to summon a bunch of the women who have been killed in these witch trials. And that's just a death gnosis to do. In the meantime, that brings us to the last person in the initiative order, Parallax.
I'm a little sad that Hannah was able to just swallow the spirit monster because I wanted to do this really cool thing with the weaponry that I got and just like portal above the spirit and do like this whole crazy anime thing where it's like stabbed it from the head up from above. But since that's not an option anymore. So who's closer to me? Is it Giles Corey? Was that his name? He's pretty far away, so Sam Paris is way closer.
Way closer.
All right. And do we still have... No, this, I already forgot. But do we still have that mind meld to a degree? Yeah, all right. How does the party feel about me taking out Paris right here and now? Or trying to?
I'm going
to
say that only Ethel and Mona can respond.
Is Paris Wizard Lincoln?
No.
Okay.
But he does have Wizard Lincoln's phylactery.
Yeah, I'm just going to remind Parallax that, like, when we tried to cast, or I tried to cast magic on Wizard Lincoln, it just got, like, bounced back at us. And just be careful that the exact same thing doesn't happen with Paris. Also, I got 4 on that roll.
Ghosts. 4 summoned directly to you, ready to enact your vengeance.
Yeah.
Nice.
All that.
Absolutely. I'm still very curious what Mona has to say.
How does this align with Machine God?
You'd have to take time to, like, commune. Like, it's not a machine god. It's a god machine. It's left after. So Sam is just a piece. Everyone here is just a piece of the machine god. That thing that Hannah destroyed was a corruption of the machine god. Paris is not a corruption of the machine god. He's just a person in this world.
Okay.
Possibly super evil, complicit person.
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
I mean, he has attacked us. I know he's inherently bad. I mean, he's searching for us as we speak. So I'm definitely, while hidden, yeah, I'm going to try to like sneak up on him, Assassin's Creed style, and then...
And you have +5 with my...
Well, that's for spells.
Yeah, I was just going to use, I'm going to like walk up in front of him and take my sword and just sort of sneak attack, stab him. And then as he's there, see what happens from there.
Okay. So it'd be weaponry and then either strength or dex. Normally he'd get his defense, but he doesn't get his defense. He does have some armor, though.
Yeah.
You've also got a magic sword, though.
I do. Actually, I'm also going to spend a willpower here.
Okay.
Four successes.
Do you have the damage written down on that sword of yours?
Let's see if I can't find it through my notes.
It would be on your character sheet under attacks. I think it's 4. But maybe it's less than that? The Fate Blade.
Yeah, but I have it somewhere. I'm not seeing it. Like, probably.
Yeah, so you swing in. It's an extra sharp blade. He's got literally a force field. So it just, like, bounces off of it mostly, and you bruise him. Doesn't look like you've really badly injured him at all with that attack. But he was surprised, and he does stumble back. And then, just before it becomes his turn, it becomes Hunts the Storm's turn. Hunts the Storm. Bloodshed in town.
I howl.
Okay. Do you want to roll to intimidate, or are you going to use your action to do something else?
I want to use my action. I will try and stab him, because he seems abyssal. I don't know if it'll work.
Yeah. So he does get his defense against this. You're going to subtract 4 from your roll here.
Now, when I'm in Garu form, I don't know what his defense is, but if they lose dexterity or wit when I fight down and dirty, if that matters.
They use the lower of?
Lower. Because,
yeah, so it's still 4. He's very witty, and he's very dexterous, and he's very manipulative.
Oh, yeah, you got it. Okay, so let's do wit. What a trickster. I love it. All right.
Yeah, he's a priest.
Let's do, same thing as before. Something nice. Let's put another willpower down to 2. Very good. I like it. Okay. 5 successes.
That's an exceptional success. So your shield, your spear does break through his shield. It does stab him deeply in the side. He takes 4 points of lethal damage from that strike.
I can feel it's not aggravated.
Yes, he's not an abyssal monster. He's just a guy.
Okay, just a guy.
I mean, a guy who has really powerful magic to protect him from damage. And is a master of forces and does want all of you dead. But only those of you who they can see. So slamming his hands together and thrusting out like this, he's going to try to cast a spell targeting the 3 of you that he can see. He's going to spend a willpower because he's in a bad way. And he's got a big old die pool here. So the throughout the wizards among you can cast a shield reflexively if you would like.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it a life shield for you?
Yes.
All right. So you gain, I think it's 3 dots of armor from that. So you only take 2 points of lethal damage from this because he did not roll super great. Parallax, do you want to activate a shield?
Yeah, I guess I'll throw up a fate.
I'll say that you also only take 2 points of damage from this. Hunts the Storm, however, takes the full 5 of... It's like nuclear fire burning away your flesh. It's just 5 lethal, though. You've had worse.
Yep. Yeah.
And that would be fine if Sam Paris was the only member of his cabal. But
what?
The next thing that happens is... all of you roll your resolve plus your power stat, which is Gnosis for the wizards and Primal Urge for our werewolf here.
Resolve, Primal Urge. Okay.
Successes.
Actually, you don't need to roll because you're not being targeted.
Okay.
You and Alora are off on the side next to where Ghost Apple disappeared.
I got 5 successes.
I got 6.
Nice.
4. That is good job.
There is pulse that flows out over your minds.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know it was mine. I have a thing against mind.
It is mind magic. So what does that give you? Automatic success against when raging?
No, 2 more dice.
Oh, okay. Two more dice.
1 more success.
Yeah, you feel it and you resist with the most of your will that you possibly can. You feel it pulling at you, trying to drive you into this darkness, and it does. It plunges you in. Then Hannah shuts down next to you, and Parallax, you feel your body, and you see in front of you that Samuel Paris is also just like sort of collapsed and the people are frozen.
But it's Mary.
From the crowd is a woman with many eyes looking at all of you. And it is, in fact, Mary. It's the Lernaean is here. And she says to you, Parallax, the only one who she can see, "So, time travelers, the hour is at hand." And that is where we're going to end this session.
Well, the Lernaean.
And the Lernaean until now.
I know that phrase.
Thought that Mary would, like, turn into the Lernaean as a result of saying, not that she is now.
Is she's just now the Lernaean.
Question for our clue board. I'll ask later.
Well, you met this thing back in the present a long time ago. And it was the Lernaean, and it told you some secrets about Salem, and that's why you came back to the past. All right, well, everybody gets a beat for playing. Everybody gets a beat for the supernatural conflict. Everybody gets a beat for the role-playing inside the ship. So that's free to start with. Anyone do an aspiration or obsession?
I prevented the deaths of innocents.
That's a beat.
I'm still hungry.
Ethel always aspires. I'm not hungry
because I just ate a spirit.
You are less hungry.
I get a beat.
Do B characters get these beats too?
Yeah, they do. All the B characters who went along on the trip, which is Allura, and I think that Sunjata gets one.
Yeah.
But Allura gets all three for the conflict, the role-playing as well. Great role-playing for Allura there.
Yeah, Lauren. One of Ethel's obsessions is having all the nice things she wants. Can having a better 1692 outfit?
Yes, it is better. It's more flattering. Not very realistic. Oh, you came at the beginning and the end. There she is, the glorious cat. Oh,
I like how you walk backward.
Trevor, any aspirations or obsessions?
The only one that's even remotely relevant is keep Allura safe, but I don't think we really.
Yeah, it wasn't particularly relevant, and she did come on the dangerous mission with you. You might want to consider revising your aspirations.
I probably should. Yeah, I'll have to think about those.
Can I give Allura an aspiration?
Yes.
Can it be keep Parallax safe?
Yes.
Aww.
She did not succeed on that either, though. Hunts the Storm aspirations?
Still, I didn't write new ones down. But there's fighting abyssal monsters.
Yeah, I think that's enough for a beat, and you should change those. Get some new aspirations.
Yeah, I will do that.
All right, okay. It's been wonderful gaming with you all, and I'll see you in the future, Sauce.
Bye, everyone.